going through the schedule for the next month, as kind of planning out who's preaching and all that, I noticed that there will be a lot of passages preached in Psalms. So I've personally never preached in Psalms before. This will be actually my second time preaching. And as I was studying it, I'm just like, man, I should preach in Psalms more often because there's so much good things that David says in Psalms. But we're going to look at Psalms 103 this morning. I'm telling you, there's nothing like worshiping and praising God, isn't it? Love that song, How Great Thou Art. And God is great this morning and will continue to be great. Psalms chapter 103, and we're going to go through the whole chapter, but I just want to read just two verses in this passage, the first two verses. And as you're turning there, Psalms 103 is a psalm of worship and praising the name of God. As I was studying this psalm and kind of going through the background of it, we don't know the specific events or time that it was written, but if you have read this psalm, you understand that this isn't David writing when he was a boy. This isn't David writing when he first killed Goliath. This is when David has matured a little bit. This is when he has gone through some things, and I find it interesting his wording as he writes this psalm. Psalms 103, look what it says in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." This morning, I would like to preach on the subject, a God worth thanking. What I think is interesting about this psalm is it's coupled and connected with all the surrounding psalms. I'm sure you're familiar with Psalms 100, the Thanksgiving psalm about praising and thanking God. In Psalms 101, we see the psalmist talking about having a holy walk before God. And in Psalms 102, the theme of it shifts. It's not so much about praising God, but the picture of Psalms 102 is picturing someone crying out to God in affliction and in pain. And then we have another shift in Psalms 103, where David is blessing the name of God, as we just read. Thanksgiving flows from a heart that remembers God and acknowledges its own limitations. You see, many of times we get into this time of year, and even though Christmas is my favorite time of year and also my birthday, Thanksgiving is a great time because you get, you know, with family and you have a meal, but you're also thankful for what God has done. But many times I feel like we are guilty of being thankful as a result of the time of year, rather than being thankful for who God is. And as I was thinking about that truth, I remember a time when I was about 13 years old. I woke up in the morning, and then I went into the dining room, and my dad was sitting there, and he was eating something, and he said, "Hey, Ben, can you get me a cup from the kitchen?" And I said, "Sure, Dad, I'll go get it." I go to the kitchen, I open the drawer, and I grab a spoon. I grab the spoon, I walk into the dining room area, and I say, "Here you go, Dad, here's what you asked for." And the looks that you guys are giving me are the same looks that he gave me. He said, "I didn't ask for a spoon, I asked for a cup." And I said, "Okay, Dad, I got you. I go back in the kitchen, and instead of getting a cup, I get a different spoon. And I walk back to him and say, "Here you go, Dad, just like you asked." By this time, he's looking at me like I'm crazy, like I had three heads. But he kind of, you know, he kind of brushed it to the side. He went and got his own cup. He just thought it was kind of weird. And then later on that day, I'm sitting at that table, and he's sitting across from me, and my mom walks in. And she said, "Hey, Ben, can you come help me with something? I need your help." And I said, "Sure, Mom." And I didn't move. And of course, my dad is sitting right across from me, and he looks up at me like, "Is he going to move? What's he doing?" And she said, "Hey, Ben, I need you to come and help me right now." And I said, "Sure, Mom, I got you." And I sat there. By this time, my dad's looking for something to throw at me to wake me up or whatever. And I remember when I looked up and I looked in his eyes, he saw that I had some faraway look in my eyes, like I wasn't there. I was presently sitting in the chair, but then I wasn't there. And then he connected the dots. He said, "Ben, he's still sleeping." So he said, "Ben, you need to go back to bed, like go back to sleep and then actually wake up." Funny enough, my sister told me that I don't remember anything that happened. I don't remember getting a spoon. I don't remember being told to go with my mom. She said that I was sleepwalking. And my sister told it to me this way. She said that I was walking around, I was going through the motions, but I wasn't fully comprehending or understanding what was going on. I was there, but I really wasn't there. And I feel like sometimes we do that at this time of the year. Spiritually, unfortunately, we get into the grind of our schedules, planning things, cooking things, and we're just thankful because it's November. Not because we remembered God, but we are going through the motions of thanking God spiritually. David also said that we should praise God, but he said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So the question I have for you this morning is, what is leading you to thanksgiving? Why are you being thankful this year? You see, as I said, the contrast of Psalms 102 and Psalms 103, David is crying out, he's afflicted, but then he switches his mind to thanking and blessing the name of God. How did he do that? How did he go from crying with his pain to blessing God? I believe that there are three reasons in this passage of what led to David praising God. And I pray that we would look at what he understood and what he remembered about God and take that as the same recipe to praise God this year. First of all, I want you to look at verse number 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If we are going to be thankful to God this year, we have to remember his benefits. What is a benefit? Well, something that is an advantage or profit gained by something. And many of you understand what a benefit is because you work a job, you receive something, or as a result of doing something, you gain something. And as a Christian, we have benefits as a result of being a child of God. Well, what are all these benefits? Let's look what it says. In verse 3, he says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. A benefit is he forgives us. The first benefit mentioned is that he forgives our sins. I imagine that as David, after he makes a transition, he thinks about who God is and what God has done, and he's praising God. But the first thing he thinks of is he forgiveth all thine iniquities. You know, it's hard to be thankful for something that you haven't experienced for yourself. And David understood the importance of having his sins forgiven. And this year, we can be thankful to God because he has forgiven us of our sins. Remember, at this time, David isn't a kid. He's a bit older now. We're not sure when this is written, but he is praising God that he forgives our sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Later on in this chapter, he references this, that he has removed his transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And I'm sure you understand what this means, but as I was studying this, I thought this was the coolest thing. If you go north, you understand that eventually you'll start to go south, but the east and west, they never meet. So I find it very interesting that David uses these words to describe how far God has removed our sins. And I'm thankful that it's only God that can do that. I think of when he had his earthly ministry, how that the Pharisees were like, how they were surprised that he was the one that said, hey, he can forgive sins. He is willing to forgive. Have you asked him? David went through a lot of things, but he understood that as a result of those things that he went through was by his own doing. And he was thankful that God forgives all thine iniquities. And he is blessing the Lord for that. Not only does he forgive sins, but he heals. He is the great physician. It says he heals all thy diseases. We see throughout the Bible how Jesus went around doing good, healing people physically, but also spiritually. I think of the leper that went back and thanked God for healing him. And then what did Jesus say in the next verse? That go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. We see that Jesus didn't just heal people physically, even though that was great, even though people were amazed by his miracles. The Bible says that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. It was great that he healed, but he was looking for more than just healing an arm or healing eyes so that they can see. He was looking for them to follow him and to be saved. We need to thank God that he heals and that he has the power to heal. Maybe some of you have experienced the loss of a loved one. And if they are saved, sometimes the way God heals is by removing them from our presence. And even though it is sad, even though it's difficult, we can be thankful that God's preparing a place called heaven. I remember when my great-grandmother passed away, and my family, especially very close to my dad's side of the family, I remember the summer of when I was a sophomore, she passed away in Minnesota while I was still in California, and that was a difficult time. But I'm thankful for a place called heaven that one day I'll see her again. And many of you who have lost loved ones who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, we can be rest assured that one day we will see them again. We can be thankful for that this morning. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Are you thankful for that? Not only that, notice in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He has redeemed us. He has saved us. He is the only one that did it and will ever do it. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We understand that the word redeemed means to be rescued from, to be brought back. But I find it interesting that, again, David's wording, look what it says in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. From disaster. Again, remember the time that he's writing this. I'm sure that David, at this time, he has made mistakes. But David isn't just thankful for God delivering him from the bear, from the lion, from the giant, or from all these different things. He's thankful for all the disasters that God has pulled him out of. Some caused by enemies and some caused by his own bad decisions. I'll tell you what I'm thankful for this morning. I'm thankful that God constantly goes back to me and saves me. Not of salvation, but from sometimes my messes and the mistakes that I've made. David isn't just thankful for God who has redeemed him, but for saving him. Aren't you thankful that when you look back through your life, that God has saved you from things that could have been a disaster. That's even by your own doing. The question I have for you, has he redeemed you? Maybe there were some situations that God has brought you out of, but has he saved your soul this morning? Has he redeemed you? Again, you have to experience it. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I know many times we sit in services, we hear the gospel presentation, but sometimes we don't apply it. Maybe there's someone here this morning that God has not redeemed you, that God has not rescued you. I encourage you that you can make that decision today. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not only that, he blesses us, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. God has blessed us, hasn't he? I've learned that it's in the midst of chaos and uncertainty that we see God's faithfulness time and time again. He has been faithful to us in the past, and in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the storm, he will continue to be faithful. He provides for us. Look what it says in verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. He knows what we need. Psalms 37:25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He knows exactly what we need, and he provides for us every single day. There may be times that things may be stretched out for a bit. You may not know what's going to happen the next day. But just like David said, if I look back in my life and wonder, man, was there a time that God forsake me or forgot about me? No, I can't find it. And neither could David when he said, when I was young and now I'm old, throughout the years, throughout the days, God has never forsaken me, and he never will. He also gives us strength so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. But I want you to notice also his mercy. Look what it says in verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. God is merciful. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And as I was looking at that verse, studying about his mercy, I think, man, we know what God's mercy is. You know, if I've heard it defined as unmerited favor, God not giving us what we deserve. But I thought about all that God has done for me. And I think of how much God has done for us. Like in the song, How Great Thou Art. If you look at his creation, the stars, the thunder, everything. We can't look at the creation and not look at the creator. And I know many of you know the scientific fact, how that the sun is perfectly distanced from us so that if it was too close, we'd burn. If it was too far away, we'd freeze. That's not because something just appeared or something just happened. It's because we have a creator and a designer, and it's God who is the only one that can do those things. God truly has blessed us way more than we have ever deserved. And if all Jesus did was die on the cross, if all he did was provide for us a way to be saved, then that's more than enough. That's more than enough in what we deserve, because he has done so much for us. David said, remembering his benefits, all that he has given us, should lead us to thanking God and praising his name. I hope I'm not the only one in here, but how many of you have walked into a room or the kitchen, whatever, and have totally forgotten why you were in there? I hope I'm not the only one there. And what do you do when you forget what you need? You retrace your steps, don't you? You think, I went in here at this time, I need this, and hopefully we remember. But maybe that's what we need to do this year. Maybe we need to go back through the years and think of the time that we were desperate, that we desperately needed God. Maybe we got to a point that we're too comfortable, and maybe we have some things that's, maybe we have our own benefits, what we've earned, and maybe we think we're at a comfortable spot. Maybe we need to think back to where we were when God found us, to where we were before we needed God, and how much we need him now. In order to have a heart of thanksgiving, we need to remember his benefits. Maybe we need to take some time this morning and think back to all that God has done for us. Not only will remembering his benefits bring us to have a heart of thanksgiving, but secondly, look what it says in verse 6 that we just read. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Not only should we remember his benefits, but secondly, we need to recognize his character. Who God is should lead us to thanksgiving. And in the verses that we just read, we see that he is just, and he is merciful, and he is gracious. The Bible also says in Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. He is just and he is right. The very next verse, David explains of how he made his ways known unto Moses and the way he guided the children of Israel, how merciful and gracious, but also just he is. David wrote that God is just. Basically, David wrote that God is right. Just think back on what happened in David's life. His sin with Bathsheba, the murder of her husband, having to be driven out of his kingdom from his family, his people dying because of his decisions. You know, after all of that, he could have gotten bitter at God. He could have thought, God, you know, you told me that I was a man after your own heart, and you're allowing me to go through all these things. He could have gotten bitter. But instead, he said, you know what, God? You're right. You are just. And even though I've gone through those things, you are merciful and you are gracious to me. Question I have is, what is your reaction when things don't go your way in life? What is your reaction when maybe your plan didn't go out the way it should have? Maybe this year, maybe you had some things that you were planning on doing or on the schedule, but it just didn't work out. What is your reaction to that? Are you bitter? Are you upset because you didn't get your way? Or will you look back and say, you know what, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but you do. God is not only a merciful and gracious God, but he is just and he is holy. David established that in the first verse. He said, and bless his holy name. You know, I find today that many people try to rely on God's mercy and his grace to cover up their sin or to hide a decision that they made or to continue in their lifestyle. But God's character isn't just mercy and grace. He's also just and he's also holy. God did not give us what we deserve. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God shows that he is just because of our penalty for our sin. What we deserve is death, is hell, eternal separation from God. But aren't you thankful that he didn't leave us the way we were? He sent his son so that he could die on the cross for us. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He's also patient in verse number 8. Aren't you thankful that God is patient with us, that he doesn't just snap or judge when we make a mistake? I remember growing up with my brothers, if they made a mistake or even thought about making a mistake or doing anything, I would always mess with them. But aren't you thankful that God is patient with us? If you need to think of an example, think of how patient he was with the children of Israel, how they complained and they murmured all day long. But he stayed with them and he did not forsake them. And you know, it's easy to compare with the children of Israel to say, man, God provided for them. God did this, God did that for them. And it's easy to compare ourselves that, man, I'm glad that I don't do that. But many times, if our plan doesn't go the way we want it to, if something happens that we are uncomfortable with, we find ourselves at the same place as the children of Israel, complaining and murmuring. But aren't you thankful that God doesn't judge us or he doesn't pass it down to us when we make a mistake? He is faithful to us. He is patient. But he's also compassionate. Do you remember the multitude, how he looked at them and he saw and he was moved with compassion? He cares for you. He loves you. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 30 through 34, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, we can go around, running around, worried about so many things, like, oh, how are we going to do this? How is this going to work out? But we need to seek God first. And all these things, God knows what we need. He has provided for us up to this point. You think anything's going to change from these years ago until now? Take therefore no thought. Don't worry about it. God will work it out. He's compassionate. But look what it says. Skip down to verse number 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God who never changes? We can be thankful that he said in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, and I change not. He is eternal, and he is unchanging. Man, many times we can look at even ourselves, even myself. We have a tough time deciding what we're going to have for dinner. For dinner last night, I went through several options of what I was going to eat. I didn't know what I wanted. But you know, we change. People change. But God never changes. When I was having my Bible study yesterday with someone, man, we just talked about that for a little bit. How people fail us. Your best friends will fail you. But man, we serve a God who never changes, who never fails. As I was studying this passage, I realized, man, we have so much more than we can be thankful for. John Newton grew up wicked, foul-mouthed, rebellious, and hardened. He became a slave trader, but during a storm at sea, he thought he would die, and he cried out to God for the first time in years. God spared his life. And in the months following, he surrendered to Christ. Before he died, this is what he said. He said, my memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior. Why should we be thankful? Why should this lead us to thanksgiving? We can be thankful because of who God is. This isn't something that he strives to be or works on being. You know, we have, every year we have what we want to be, what we want to do. We have our New Year's resolution of what, of our goals, what we desire to do, and that's great. But who he is isn't something that he strives to be or that he's working on. Aren't you thankful that these are just a few characteristics of who he is? He is patient, he is eternal, he is compassionate, and he is loving. He loves you. And he showed it by sending his son to die for us. This year, we need to recognize and be thankful for his character. You see, when we recognize his character, his justice, his mercy, his forgiveness, it should overwhelm us with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, it's not just about what God has done for us. It's also about who God is. And because his character never changes and he never stops being who he is, then all thanksgiving should never stop. Not only should we remember his benefits, not only should we recognize his character, but we should also realize our limitations. Jump back up to verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. God knows exactly who we are. He knows that we are fragile. He knows that we fall short. David reminds us that God knows who we are. That means God is fully aware of our limitations, our weaknesses, our struggles, and our failures. Nothing about us surprises God. He sees our frailty and responds not with frustration, but with compassion. And let me just say this, just because we fall short doesn't mean that we shouldn't live for God, that we shouldn't try to walk with God and do right. But God knows that we can't do this on our own. Which is why he said that, for without me, ye can do nothing. God understands what we go through. He was tempted. He went through this. He went through pain and suffering. And even though he went through all of that, he was still God. And he can be our refuge and strength. Just like Pastor Noah preached last week, God is our refuge and strength in time of trouble. Maybe some of you are wondering this morning, how can God possibly understand what I'm going through right now? Man, maybe you're going through something right now that you're like, man, God, I know you took care of this for me, but right now, the season that I'm in, it's difficult. It's a tough one. But you know what? He does understand what we go through. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of all infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When I think of that verse, I think of the process that the children of Israel had to go through with going to a priest, having to bring their sacrifice, and having to sacrifice that animal for their sins. And I think that, you know, at that time, that's what they had to do. They had to go to the priest, but they were also fellow humans. They were also sinners. But this morning, aren't you thankful that we can go to someone who, even though he was tempted just like us, he was without sin, and he is God. He was tempted after his baptism. When he was on a journey, the Bible says that he was weary. He was tired in John 4 before he met the woman at the well. This is why what God did is amazing, and we should be thankful. Because while still being 100% God, he came down, leaving the glories of heaven, all the praise that he was getting in heaven. He put on humanity and experienced pain and suffering that we can only imagine. Why did he do that? He did that for you. That's why we should thank him. And that's why we should praise and bless his holy name. Why should I be thankful for my limitations? Why should I be thankful for my weaknesses? Well, because it's in those weaknesses and those limitations, that's the very place where God's power shows up. If I had no limitations, I would never depend on God. If I had no weakness, I wouldn't understand His grace. But we need God. And what we can thank Him for this Thanksgiving is that when we are weak, through Him, we can be made strong. Are you thankful for God's strength in your life? Paul had to learn this in his trial. Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, who was considered to be one of the greatest Christians that walked the earth, he went through a difficult time. He went through a thorn, and even he asked God three times to remove it. But instead of removing the thorn, God answered, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know, I'm sure some Christians looked at Paul and was like, man, if anyone would get his prayers answered, it would be Paul. But God didn't even answer Paul's request. He answered it, but he was trying to teach Paul a lesson. That don't look at that trial or that temptation, whatever that may be, in the lens of a difficult thing. Look at it as a lesson that God's trying to teach him. Paul learned that the pain was an opportunity for God's power to rest on him. Then if you read the next few verses, now Paul is saying, most gladly, therefore, would I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul became thankful for the very things that once frustrated him, because they pushed him toward God and made him stronger through Christ. And then as I read that passage, this was the next question that came to mind that God put on my heart. Will part of your praise to God this Thanksgiving include your trials and your difficulties? When, if you sit around the table, I know what my family did. When we got around the table, we run around and thank God for whatever it may be, whatever's on their mind. But what I thought when I read that verse is, will my praise and thanksgiving to God this year include my difficulties and trials? I'm going to be honest. I struggled with that one. Because that means that the thing that's making me uncomfortable, the thing that I'm struggling with, I should thank God for it. You know, I don't like being weak. I don't like being happy during my difficult times. But Thanksgiving isn't about how we feel. It's about giving our praise to an almighty God for who He is and what He has done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Do you? Hudson Taylor, a famous missionary to China, he was very sickly as he ministered for God in China, but this is what he said. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they relied on His power working through them. David went through a lot of difficult things. You can read down Psalms 102. 28 verses talks about crying out to God, the groaning. But in the very next chapter, he's blessing God with everything that is within him. He started out the chapter blessing God, then he closes the chapter praising God. Look what it says in verse 19. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments. When I read that part, I'm just like, man, the angels, even though they're strong, even though we haven't seen them, even they should bless the Lord that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, and all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And if that was enough, he continues in the next chapter, bless the Lord, O my soul. But David closes this chapter by praising the Lord. And ultimately, as children of God, that should be what we should be doing, blessing the Lord with everything in us. Is God the reason for your thankfulness? What is leading you to thanking God? If you are going to be thankful to God this year, remember His benefits. Recognize His character, realize your limitations, and bless His name. Not because it's Thanksgiving week, but because he is worthy every single day. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Let's have a time of invitation. I'm sure this message isn't new to some of you. But Thanksgiving can become something that we take for granted. Thanksgiving can be something that we just decide to thank God only at that time of year. But this morning, I want you to just think deep down. Why am I thanking God this year? What are the reasons of why I should be thankful to God? Maybe you need to thank him for where you are right now. The place that God has you in this church with the family that he has given you. It's all for a reason. And we should be thankful for that. God has you here with this church for a reason. We should be thankful for that. No matter what goes on with, there's a lot of distractions. There's all sorts of things that go on. All sorts of trials and difficulties. Be thankful for where you are. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never received Christ as your Savior. Well, David just couldn't flip an on and off switch where he could just thank God. He had to experience it for himself. And if you're here in this room this morning and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do that today. Let's all stand as we have this time of invitation. The altar is open. Maybe you need to pray and thank God for what you're going through right now. I'm not sure the burdens or the trials that you're going through, but maybe you just need to thank God for it and ask God, what are you trying to teach me during this time? David cried out to God. He was afflicted. He hid in a cave. His own family was trying to kill him. But he found time to thank God and bless his name. Will you do that this year? Maybe you need to just sit down and just think back to where God has brought you from and all that he has done for you. And all you can say is, God, thank you. It's not by anything that you have done. It's because of who he is. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message of your word this morning. Father, many times I'm guilty of praising you and thanking you just because of Thanksgiving. Just because someone asked me, what are you thankful for? And that's the time that I praise you. Father, I pray that we would give thanks to you every day. If we just stop and just think of all that you have done for us and what you brought us from, we can easily find things to praise your name about. I pray that we wouldn't be guilty of not being thankful people. I thank you for all that you have done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Brother Mike's going to come and lead us in the closing dismissal song. And then, please dismiss us in prayer.